Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, Better Call Saul, the finale. We're going to get into it next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wow. Good to hear it again.
Yes. Brought back an old friend.
Hey guys, how's everyone doing tonight? Are you all just really, really just frozen right now?
A little bit. Or maybe depressed?
Or just like staring ahead blankly, like, oh my god, every plot line is so sad.
Oh, every plot line is so sad and never ending.
It is sad. Hey guys, welcome back. You are watching the after show for Better Call Saul, the season finale, Lantern. I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G, and back by popular demand, Zach Wilson.
Hey guys, I was able to finally catch up on the show when I didn't have to work Monday nights, and I saw the finale just in time to make it into the studio. Find me on Twitter and Instagram and yell at me for not showing up at that Zach Wilson.
What's going on, guys? It's Nate Miller. You can find me on social media at Dog Like Nate.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N.
All right, guys. So before we get into it, because we're going to have a lot to talk about because this is a good finale, as they all are, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, I just want to talk to you real quick about MeUndies.com. MeUndies.com. And they are the most softest, comfortable underwear you'll ever wear. This month, they have a rainbow confetti print called Celebrate. And you can get them at MeUndies.com/buzz. Get it after buzz. B-U-Z-Z. It's 20% off your first pair. If you don't like them, they're saying that they will give them to you for free and free shipping. So don't forget, 20% off. MeUndies.com/buzz. Please use that.
And that's 20% off the price, not right. It's not like 20% higher up my legs.
No, it's 80%. It's 80% less underwear.
Off your first pair, guys.
So I have 20%. So it's more thong-esque.
Yes.
You say?
They have all different sizes of undies.
All right, so I can get a thong, is what you're saying.
Oh, yes.
All right, great.
And it'll be the most comfortable thong you've ever worn.
Yes.
I'm a thong expert.
I'm going to give a suggestion for these guys right now. It's for hopefully, like, they have a USA pair for 4th of July. If not, you guys should make one. All right. MeUndies.com/buzz.
Or you could do it Saul style, and it's just the Constitution right across your crotch.
I already have that.
They have some great undies. They really do have some funky designs. It's kind of counterintuitive because it's like, you know, you wear them under your clothes, but when people do see them, they can be like, damn, where'd you get those? And you could be like, oh, MeUndies.
MeUndies.com.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to read up on the Fourth Amendment. Give me a second.
Okay, guys. Okay.
With that.
No, with that second. Let's get into the finale.
That went way too far.
Oh, I took it too far.
Too far?
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Most three amendments you can fit on there. You're not getting to the fourth.
No, it should be the first one. It should be the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, right? Just have your balls hanging out of the underwear.
Yep. You see what happens? The train leaves the station. There's no stopping it.
And like, what has happened?
This.
Okay, we are at full force. I've seen Steve Kaufman up here sometimes saying, like, we're like at half capacity, but we are definitely at full force, maybe at 110% because Zach Wilson is here, one of the original Better Call Saul. So, panelists. And, hey, satisfactory for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, this is a good season finale. Season. AMC, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Because it has not officially been renewed. But this is a good season finale. It ended on a big beat. There's enough of a cliffhanger that I'm absolutely coming back.
They're not in danger of not. I mean, I can't imagine that.
I say the same thing, but why hasn't it been renewed? AMC.
Things are all over the place at AMC right now, too.
Yeah, I know there's been some departures that like Variety and Hollywood Reporter mm-hmm. announced.
Oh man, this is they'd be foolish because this is like this franchise is what put them on the map.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not questioning whether it's going to come
back.
Yeah,
I know.
Trying to put AMC.
Give the announcement tomorrow.
Nothing wrong with
that. But this is a good season finale in that like we got everyone's plot lines moving, like moved into a place. Like there were some things that finished, like story, like plot arcs that ran out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a cliffhanger, but like it also gave some finality while also being like, what the hell happens next? What do you guys think?
Oh, I really enjoyed this finale. I think it's season finale, I will also clarify. Yeah. But I really enjoyed the way this show does things, and we talk about it a bit, that the finale does let a lot of things close up, but then leave enough cliffhangers that we're kind of dealing with the ramifications of what's happened for the next five episodes of the remaining season.
It's what Steve always says. So like last season, like it opened up the court case and it ended at probably like around...
This show takes what would be a traditional television season, but does it five from one season and then five from the following season. So that you're always kind of on edge with this show, and that's why I like it.
Interesting. Nate, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be the bad guy, but I did not really enjoy this episode. I thought there were some good parts to it, and there's a lot of good scenes. I don't know if maybe my expectations were just too high. And I get the whole leaving things on a cliffhanger, but I still need some type of resolution because I feel like so much of the second half of the season has been a slow burn. At least me, I expected it to build to something, and what happened for me was not enough of a explosion after the wick burns down.
Here's the reason he is saying that, and Zach, you haven't been here, is because this guy, he loves Mike.
I do.
He loves Mike.
I was very disappointed.
That's why you don't like this episode, brother. That's why.
You know me too well.
There's no Mike Ermachow, you're like...
I was expecting something, and it's like, we got a lot of really good, tense scenes and really well directed and acted stuff. It just didn't feel like it came together for what is like a great finale. For me, this seems like a second to last episode before the finale or something along those natures. Like I feel very unsatisfied going into the break.
Interesting.
As opposed to last season where it was still kind of cliffhangery, but there was some type of resolution, at least I felt like.
That's really interesting because I had the exact opposite reaction to the two finales. I thought last year was too big of like a cliffhanger. Like there was like, I knew that was the mid-season break, mm-hmm. not a season break. Mm-hmm. This to me felt because, I think partially because like with Hector Salamanca, like we know where he winds up. Mm-hmm. So this is like, it caps that arc to a certain mm-hmm. point. Like, I know where he's going, and if I didn't see him again, like, before Breaking Bad, I would totally know what his journey
well,
is
I
from
think
here to there.
We had so much speculation, too, on what was going to happen, and so just for us to go from, like, thinking about all the ways that this accident could happen to him that puts him in that wheelchair.
Yeah.
And, like, how most likely it's not going to be, like, what we expect, the most straightforward thing, which is the medicine. And then that's what it is. And it's just, like, it's not, like, again, it makes sense, but it's, like, it just feels almost anticlimactic. Almost, like, it almost felt like that was really supposed to be a diversion while something else happened, and that just kind of just turned out to be that. I don't know. Again, that's where
that was my prediction for a couple weeks, but sometimes a well-laid plan just happens exactly as the character lays it.
Yeah. I think especially, like, just, like, across all the lines, like, the Sandpiper crossing more or less came to mm-hmm. a finish. Yeah. Like Chuck's story,
I think it was a good episode.
Finish.
I'm just personally not, but that's I think that's another big reason why I'm not a huge fan of the episode is I feel like the whole Chuck thing seemed forced. I felt kind of rushed. I think with a lot of the progression we've seen him do through the season, and even as he's been like struggling to maintain this image of him getting better when he's not really as better as he seems, just to go from a conversation with Jimmy and, you know, how things happen with Howard to just go straight off the deep end and, like, he just completely loses it and then goes into just willing full suicide. It just seems maybe I missed something there.
I don't know.
I need a giant break.
Well, no, because Steve, I want your take on this one because
you want now. I don't know where we're starting.
No. Okay. Actually, no. Let's just start here because I want your take on it. No. Hey, if our conversations organically go somewhere, let's just talk about it for a second because that was the big kind of bang at the end of this episode. But because you thought that like Chuck would kind of disappear a few episodes ago after Jimmy like totally just blew him up in court.
Well, I also thought
no pun intended.
I thought the blow up in court would be enough to hermit Chuck into the, like, to almost all but certainly get Chuck committed in some way of, like, publicly shamed hermit. Hermit, like, won't actively seek help, but will be found in a payphone with space blankets, and they have to commit him. That didn't happen. What happened was similar in the sense that he got better and then got worse.
And see, for me, I just felt like this is an okay ending for him because there wasn't much more you could do with Chuck. I felt like in terms of like they kind of played his storyline out.
This kind of thing happening, it just maybe I missed something in the character. It just feels like a really strange turn all of a sudden, and it gets so
makes sense to me, especially like he seemed to be getting better, and that's what happens a lot of times with suicides, mm-hmm. is that people seem to be on the uptick and it just takes hitting a wall at some point and just mm-hmm. it spirals them down even further than mm-hmm. they were before. Like what happened to him in this episode, he had this emotional moment with Jimmy mm-hmm. where he like called his he like said one of the most hurtful things that he possibly could. Yeah. Whether or not it's true, he knows that he hurt his brother. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, he went into Hamlin to HHM.
I was going
to
say even before
and,
that.
And yeah, he went into HHM and he was like so resolute about what he was going to do. And the moment that you could see him like question every move that he'd made as soon as Hamlin handed him that check and he found out it was from his personal account. And I think it all comes down to like the look on his face when he is leaving HHM where he can't even bring himself to say anything. Like, Hamlin got everyone to, like, give him this big send-off, even though he was doing such an asshole mm-hmm. thing to the company and to his friend. I think it, like, he basically realized at a certain point in this episode that he had, for everything that he said about Jimmy and how Jimmy is a bad person, he had become, he was doing the same thing that Jimmy was on a different level, in a different, like, area. But that's... He did something Jimmy would do. He didn't. He suddenly couldn't separate himself from this person that he thought was the devil.
One of the key lines that Howard has when you're talking, and he's talking about how, like, you know, he says, like, you know, we built this company together. I used to trust you. You used to put the firm first, but you're not. You know, you're not that person anymore. And when he said that, I was like, wow, I never thought about it like that. Like, obviously, you think of them on the same camp, but they're almost kind of like the same person. And we've seen Chuck kind of completely fall off and take a left-hand turn from that. And Howard's kind of like tried to stay by his side the whole time and tried to be advocate and like rein him in. And he's starting to realize like he's just going in a different way. So it was really cool to see him like verbalize that. And so going from that scene and him walking down, if that was just what we saw and then we saw the end, then I could kind of get it. But I think for me is the display of him when Jimmy comes in. And how he seemingly, I don't see that as a scenario where he set that up for Jimmy to come and him to be playing it up. It seemed like he was just genuinely chilling in the house. And especially after the way that he, did I miss something there?
No, keep going. No, I'm going to chime in after this.
But the way that he, you know, when they have their exchange, he seems so resolute and so, like, straightforward and not unsure of himself at all. And obviously he's had enough because he's saying this incredibly hurtful thing. But to see him go from that to then so quickly, especially right after that moment, flip over for me is what is confusing.
Steve, actually, but you had a thing when we were watching it. This is your philosophy on it.
My philosophy on it as I watched it, as I caught it, and I have no science to back this up. Other than the fact that we know what Chuck has isn't a literal allergy to electricity.
Psychosomatic.
It's a psychosomatic illness. Anything psychosomatic would be brought on by some type of trigger. I think Jimmy's the trigger.
I could see that.
I think Jimmy's the trigger, and then
he's
his
been getting
mind
better
somehow...
because Jimmy hasn't been there, and then all of a sudden Jimmy comes back and brings mm-hmm. up this whole big issue, and
I don't know.
He just doesn't seem emotional afterwards. But
I don't know that it's necessarily Jimmy, like, as a person. But I think it's that...
Or his relationship to Jimmy might be the trigger.
Or just, like, his... Like, I think it's failings. Like, really, it's that, like, any kind of failure to Chuck, like, we've seen, like, that is his biggest fear, I think, is failure. And, like, where... Like, he failed in his marriage. That was the initial trigger. And right here, when Jimmy is, like, trying to... repent for what he'd done. Like, I think
he's 100% right, though, with what he told Jimmy, though. It's like, whether, even though he feels genuinely these emotions and, like, he wants to make things better because he feels sad about death because Kim almost died, like, he, at the end of the day, he's not going to change. He's saying these things to make himself feel better, not to make Chuck feel any better.
And I think we're forgetting very quickly that Chuck is out of HHM because of what Jimmy did.
I just want to talk about
like that. Chuck didn't know that, really, right?
No, but Jimmy...
Jimmy knows that, but Chuck didn't know that.
But yeah, like, but how... It wasn't even an apology. It was just more of a, I feel bad that this happened to you. But even that should have been taken with a bit of a grain of salt from Jimmy, where it's like, but you did that. Like, your malice for your brother...
And then the timeline, too. So they have their conversation. He tries to go to sleep, so this is later that night. Can't sleep, wakes up in the middle of the night. So then, is that like, it's daytime when
as Fabrizio TV in the chat points out, like, he asks, like, well, what pill did he take? He took an Ambien. That's enough of another thing to push him over the edge as well. Because Ambien and any kind of drug like that can also push those things, push suicidal thoughts forward.
I assumed he was taking whatever else she had prescribed him.
He wrote down on his in his little book, Ambien.
Oh, then that's actually kind of textbook, because that's...
But he didn't sleep. He ended up not sleeping anyway.
If he was that stressed that he didn't sleep,
I think he took the Ambien in the system. Yeah. So, and I mean, like, obviously he had a breakdown, because he went far beyond he's ever gone before with the holes in the wall and busting the transformer. So there's something.
And at this stage, he's got like nothing to live for. I mean, to a certain degree. In his mind, you were saying, like, there's no wife, there's no job, there's no brother. Yeah. So now he has
no
really
reputation.
Way too much time on his hands. So that's why he's like destroying kind of half the place, because what else is he going to do?
It's not even like he could go like start another firm. The reason he was kicked out of HHM was specifically because he was a liability. He wouldn't even be able to get his own insurance. Like, his own, like, malpractice insurance would be through the roof. What's next? What would be next for Chuck? And I think that's where, like, whether or not that's the right way to look at the world, like, when you get into those things and when he's, like, and I think also just, like, after he tears apart his house, he's, like, well, I'm a broken man. I can't fix myself.
Yeah, I can see that.
And he gets into that headspace, and, like, he was making such good progress, and it's a shame because he was, but that's not, at that point, that's not where somebody who has a mental illness would see themselves.
Yeah, it's really hard to go back from the holes in your house everywhere. Yeah.
Is this,
well,
so is this
without
guys,
a moment of clarity? Like, he just didn't have that.
I mean, is this where you guys saw his demise? I mean, Zach, did you ever see, like, Chuck's demise was going to be...
I would never have thought that was where it was going to go. Once it did, like, again, with all these circumstances, I totally bought it. I would not have, like, guessed that.
Suicide, no. The fire thing, I actually kind of saw it coming this episode, only because it's been...
The lantern up top. And
the
then
lantern has been a thing for a while now, that he's got a fire lantern, a bunch of newspapers, whatever, lots of flammable shit. Mm-hmm. It's right. I didn't even know it was called
Lantern. Yeah, no, of course not. No, we're not going to do that.
But, the moment he was like looking for things to turn off, I'm like, what about the fire alarm? He's gonna turn everything off and the house is gonna catch on fire and he's gonna die. So even then I knew it was gonna be fire, but I was not thinking suicide.
I thought
he might
like tear through the wall, find whatever electric current and was like going. I thought he was gonna electrocute himself. Which would have been poetic in a different way for him.
Yes. That might have been a little too on the nose.
Also, also, it's one of those things that people might not necessarily write it off as a suicide. If the whole
I don't want to get into predictions, but
if the whole house burns, they might not necessarily know that he tore it apart.
I don't think anyone's going to call it a suicide. I think they're going to call it a mental breakdown that led to an accident,
or just an accident. They might just say he had an accident with the lantern because
they'll be able to see that he was ripping the house apart.
So that goes into predictions later, but okay, so. So do we want to talk about Jimmy in this episode? Which
I don't know.
What's interesting was that, like, I thought that there were two things. Is when he's talking to Chuck, you know, I almost did like the whole embrace Saul. You know, he's just like, you know, it wasn't that, but it was just kind of like, just embrace who you are.
Sort of,
and for me, for me, it was just embrace Saul. And, you know, we saw like a lot of the turns start happening, and I really thought in this episode he really was going to fully become Saul. Like, for the finale. Like, but then all of a sudden he kind of reverts a little bit back to being Jimmy.
But I also think while we're transitioning from Chuck to Jimmy, that scene is very telling because he said, I'd respect you more if you were just upfront about how you're a destroyer. Which I think we've kind of established that Jimmy, deep down inside, wants to be respected by his brother, who was always considered better than him. That the Saul Goodman we later meet is at least somebody who's upfront about who he is.
Right.
And he's at the very least being who his brother would respect.
At least how he says it in this moment.
Yeah, or at least
I feel like it's something that you just say when you want to hurt someone, though. I don't think that if he was like, all right, Chuck, I've decided I just ruined things. I'm going to own it. That's when I'm like, he's like, yeah, great, good job. I don't think.
Well, maybe not.
I think he's still
going
to give him a lecture and be like, oh, you need to do this. You need to change, yada, yada, yada.
But he's always been saying this, though. I mean, he said this to, like, how, like, and he's been saying this all season long.
And also, this is the last thing.
Jimmy is this type of a person.
This is the last thing his brother, who he's strived to get respect for, says. That is going to form whoever he's he becomes for the rest of the
And this is officially the last time that Jimmy spoke to him.
Yeah.
After just having the Kim death scare. So he's already emotional. I mean, that's the only reason why he went over there. So I'm curious to see how this affects him.
You know, he even says it like when he's in with Kim, he says, you know, I'm good at tearing things down.
Yeah, so. But I think that him with I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names. The lady who's
Irene,
in charge of
Irene. Yeah.
I was like almost pleasantly surprised to see him go through all of that. I did not see the plan coming with the other lady from Sandpiper.
But that's what I'm saying is that I thought that there are remnants of. I thought he was going to go full Saul Goodman. But in here, he really, really reverts to being Jimmy McGill. Because if he was Saul Goodman, he just would have kept going and it's kind of
Full Saul Goodman wouldn't have cared that he destroyed that lady's life.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This was still Jimmy. This was still Jimmy where it's like, I'll let this entire deal fall apart if she still gets to have her life back to where it was before. Like, it's not like he won't get a payday. He'll still get a payday.
But not when for...
Not for years, but the only reason he really wanted to pay it was to keep the office, and he's come to terms with the fact that he would rather have Kim in the office.
His interactions with Kim with this episode were great.
Yeah.
Him with the breakfast and the Gatorade and everything.
Yeah, I mean, so let's go to Kim. I mean, so she is... So we definitely saw her get... banged. I mean, that was a great directed scene last week.
Yeah.
With like a car going, and all of a sudden just...
Yeah, we talked about it. The editing was
it's amazing.
Phenomenal.
And so, now she's back with, we see the, and...
She's tore up.
But Jimmy's taking care of her.
Yeah.
He's taking care of her, they're talking, and she, I don't know, it's like she has like this like weird turn where she's about to kind of get into, all right, I'm going to go back to, get back to, and then all of a sudden she's like, no. And then we see her going to the black Blockbuster, which is awesome to see in this episode.
2003.
I'm wondering how far they went with that set, if it was really just the Blockbuster wall with like a couple racks of movies.
Probably.
I imagine that's just the smartest way to do it, but just thinking of like there being a Blockbuster somewhere.
What, are they going to go to a DVD rental place? Just a different one?
Those don't exist.
Yeah, they don't exist at all.
I'm pretty sure you can't go into like an independent video rental place and be like, hey, we want to shoot here. Can we put a big Blockbuster sign up in the background? I don't know if they would, like that.
They do that all the time, I think. When you just like,
I would be
like,
upset.
Put a big
I'd
sign
be like,
up
no.
But for this,
we're
just,
not Blockbuster.
For that, it would just easily be a soundstage.
Right.
But I could see them building a whole Blockbuster just in case there
was more
dialogue to be had.
One angle. So,
yeah.
Like, I feel like they probably have a standing set.
It's racks and a single flat. Just against
the
wall.
It's very complex.
The Mothman Prophecies DVD
Look,
in the back.
The movie selection was excellent.
Darkness Falls. If you guys caught that, Darkness Falls.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It was cool to see. I was, really nervous that she was just going to really just go straight back into it, but it was good to see her have that moment of she's like, all right, I almost just died. Maybe I should take a break and not, you know, not only like overwork myself as I'm sick on one gig, but maybe I shouldn't take on this extra job that was already going to be too much.
So then the interesting is who's bringing in money? I mean, I'm not saying, because, like, obviously, like, Gatwood was still cool. There was, like, he's, like, saying, get better. Like, let's be, like, we heard from, like, Francesca, and she still has...
Mesa Verde.
Yeah. But, like, Jimmy now has completely, like, at least for the time being, foregone.
Pushed off his payday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, but that's going to be the thing for them to work on. Like, Kim still got income from Mesa Verde. Like, she's taking a couple weeks off, but... I think with a job like that, it's like contract based. So like her taking a couple weeks off, like maybe they'll have to outsource some of the like day to day somewhere else. But she's still covering the bulk of the.
I think she's still going to be
thing. So well, like, yeah. She's covered, and without the office, they like keep
save a lot of funds.
Yeah, they're just good. It's like rent and food at that point. Rent and food and cars, like the normal stuff. Which
And Jimmy will eventually, like Jay Becker in the chat, like Jimmy has the payday. They'll settle. They will eventually settle, but that's not coming for a little while.
Yeah,
now.
I think that
like,
was the point.
They're talking about like that could be years out if they don't take this.
It's
settlement.
It's not quite a prediction, but I think if Howard owes Chuck $9 million,
see right,
and Chuck's no longer living. Chuck's next of kin would be his brother, not his ex-wife, right?
Right, because once you get divorced, you're given up that.
So his next of kin would be Jimmy. However, how much do you want to think that Howard would not give Jimmy that money over his dead body?
And don't forget if he had like say this is a little bit predictions, but like life insurance, how much of the house cost?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a ruled all accident, then like that's all his Jimmy gets to pocket that money.
Yeah,
if the legal process is, unless Chuck specifically said nothing goes to my brother
could see him writing that will before he kicks the lantern over,
or that he wrote it within those weeks where he got better.
Well, he
or
he's
sitting there and no Jimmy
well, little, under no
unless he had a fireproof safe that he stuck just the will into.
I believe he would go through those links.
Yeah, he might actually. But yeah, I think that ultimately Jimmy is on. It's so interesting. He's on the uptick, like he's on this good guy track. But he like we know he's gonna get smacked back down, unless it turn like we rewrite a lot of Breaking Bad into like him like putting like that this is like all a character, like we know it's a character,
mm-hmm.
but if we mentally rewrite like how he behaves there, that this is like a fully conscious persona, and then at the end of the day he goes home and is Jimmy, like this guy who would sacrifice his future career and like money, his reputation within this community to help this old woman that he hurt, a single person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's really what it's gonna be. I don't really believe that, but it's the part of me that wants Jimmy to stay good.
It's just like good is just a fine line because. Yes, he did all, like, he risked all these things and lost all these contacts, which he already couldn't do business with. I don't think he really lost as much as it seems like. And also, I think as nice of it is for him to do this, I think it's more so about him assuaging the guilt that he feels for putting her in this position in the first place. It's
makes his character human. Still.
Right. It's good that he's doing this, but again, she wouldn't be in this position if he didn't do this to her. So he's fixing his own problem that he caused. So it's not like he's like a white knight in this scenario.
Uh-huh. Oh no, yeah,
he's a gray knight.
Yeah. Right. And so I don't know. Like I could see Saul Goodman doing a similar thing of, you know, trying to get ahead of something, accidentally hurting someone else in the process, not realizing it, and then being like, all right, shit, what can I do to fix this? I think even as I don't know if greedy is the right word, but as business-minded as Saul Goodman is and what he'll do for, like, a penny, I think the Jimmy's character is still there.
Yeah. I did love that moment where they're like, after when they're moving out of the office, and she's like, it was a great wall. There'll be another one. And then you're like, yeah, there will. There's going to be an epic one.
I think that's another thing, too. It's pretty symbolic of them for him to finally let go of the office and not, like, throw a tantrum or anything about it.
Just and that ugly mural that he made.
I liked it.
Wait, okay. I mean, so
I thought it was cool.
Minimalistic. It was creative.
Yeah, I also
think
the mural is kind of symbolic of, like both the season and the relate. Like, probably the relationship between...
His stock market... After he said the stock market thing, I couldn't unsee it.
I saw that immediately. That's just the idea of just ups and downs, peaks and valleys, where it's... But, like, it clearly ends.
And so, okay, so then, with saying goodbye to the office, momentarily, we say goodbye to Francesca.
Yeah.
Wow.
She'll be back. I have a gut feeling.
Bye, Francesca.
Right? It's like, yeah, I wasn't sure how they were.
When we
like
open Francesca. Up another office, you'll be the first call. It's like,
she's like,
yeah, I love that. Great. I love just that honest look of like she wanted to tell them off a little. Of like, well, I won't take it. I should take steady employment. But like, nah, you guys do fun stuff here.
Oh, that wasn't how I took it. I took it as like she doesn't believe it's ever gonna come.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's that's just like, yeah, that'd be nice, but, like, we're
let's be real.
Closing up this office.
Yeah, like, yeah. So she's got one arm, you have no law license.
Yeah.
So, really? You're throwing away your Rolodex, like, this is done.
All right, so let's get into Mr. Nacho, or so you like to call him Taco.
Or Tuco, as we called him last week.
Wow, all
Tuco?
Right.
Shots fired.
Oh, wow.
All nine mistakes, guys. Right.
See the bus?
It's the interesting thing about this show. I feel like whether on purpose or by accident, they accidentally wound up with two shows going on. And, like, usually shows have, like, multiple plot lines that, like, intertwine. But, like, they naturally just, like, went off in different directions where you have like Jimmy's plotline, Chuck's plotline, and then like Nacho over again.
Yeah,
like
way to the side.
It's so intriguing, but it's like, oh, this is Breaking Bad prequel. This is Jimmy.
Yeah, this is a Better Call Saul prequel, like if you will.
Yeah, but I thought it was cool. I like Nacho standing up for himself. Like ultimately, like he's like, this can't wait. Like the pill thing is too slow. And it worked out for him in the end, but he was just like ready to shoot him. He would have been so screwed.
Well, I mean, because he's scared for his dad. Because he's just like, I know my dad's gonna like. That's why they're setting that all those scenes. Because he's like, my dad is gonna screw this up because he's a proud man. And then clearly, like, what? Salamanca sits there and says like, I don't trust him. And it's like, oh.
Well, of course you don't trust him. That's what I've been trying to tell you. You shouldn't trust him.
Like you shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, like he's my father. I would know.
Yeah, like he.
I mean, yeah. Obviously, we know Don Hector is stubborn.
Yeah.
But I thought the performance, but I don't know the actor's name, but
he's
Hector,
amazing. He's in Scarface.
Margulies.
Regardless,
yeah,
he did
it was good to see that, him actually yeah. like more than just be like the angry old man in like little bursts. Like he actually
angry.
Got like, yeah, like he and he got like. He had like some shit to say. He's like, "No,
yeah,
we
yeah.
built this.
Suck
my,
me, yeah.
our
suck
money,
me, yeah.
our family, our blood. You know, this is yeah." And he was like, "He's telling him to suck me." Like, damn,
he knew it was it before he goes to doing this.
Man,
just jingling the little thing and scrunching his nose. But you know, I thought it was interesting about this scene was how Gus is actually trying to make sure that he doesn't die. And I don't know, that was a little interesting, where he's just like, you know, no muerte, he's like, no muerte, cabrón, once it's just like, don't die, you son of a bitch, or whatever. And he's actually there, I figured he'd just be just like...
I think he still needs Hector.
Yeah.
Like, on the one hand, he needs him for, like, the business and stuff. I think there's also that part of just knowing more of Fring's background than we have from Better Call Saul, like... We know that he wants to torture Hector. He doesn't want him to have just like a quick death like this, like with a stroke. He wants him to live to see his empire taken away from him.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. Gus is not a good guy. Like, remember that.
It's hard to... This series, like, Better Call Saul this season.
It puts characters in perspective, because it's like, when you put him next to, like, Hector, it's like, oh, yeah, Gus is so nice. But, yeah, like,
in comparison.
Right, exactly.
But you had, like, flashback, too, like, in terms of, like, what happened to Gus. And it's like, when you see, like, your, I guess, lover... Like, you know.
Oh, and bad things have happened to him. And he's like, he's a nice, he's probably the, one of the nicest people in this business.
He's probably the nicest like, bad person.
He's still like, he's still Gus Fring. He's still done plenty. There's a, you don't climb to that point without a little right. bit.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. But it, again, this, I think, set up a really. Like it sets up what is coming in a great way, mm-hmm. And like I was saying, like this, if I there is more story to tell between here and Breaking Bad for Gus Fring and for Hector, but if I didn't see them again, I would completely know what how we get from this from I guess B to C,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Sure, they bridge a lot of that gap.
Nacho, on the other hand, I still want more of his story. I want to know where he goes from here.
Yeah, well, especially with that shot of Gus looking at Nacho.
Yeah.
Knowingly.
Mm-hmm. And I still stand by from, like, way early in season one, or, like, not, we talked about it early in season one, but it from the first appearance of Saul on Breaking Bad when he references, and what's the name he uses? The actual what probably is Nacho's actual name, which I'm blanking on. But you all know the reference.
Dude,
you can't
think about that. I mean, come on, dude. It's like it's only like you know a couple years.
The
ago.
Chat, help me out here. Yeah. Save me. But yeah, like because when Jimmy's like when Saul is like on his knees in the desert, he's like, is it about?
He uses the Christian name of. That character,
yeah, and I want to know why.
Yeah, like he.
There's still stuff there.
In an upcoming season, their paths have to cross.
Like he's, oh yeah, he's more directly. So, I mean, they already know sure. each other.
He's deeply sure. entrenched in like he's clearly deeply entrenched in all of this by Breaking Bad. Whether it's a story they tell or not is the real question. Although we're getting close.
Ignacio. Because this is Nacho. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Judge, Elsky, yeah. Justin. Yes. Like,
Justin Falzon, thank you.
Adrian, everybody.
Yeah.
Because if this is 03, when does Breaking Bad start in 04 or 05?
Breaking Bad starts in 2004.
Okay.
So we're pretty... Right? Either
hold
way,
on.
We're
hold
pretty
you guys
close.
Keep talking.
Yeah, we're
I'll
very,
I'll
very
tell you,
close.
I'll tell you
where we're at. I'm almost positive the show started in 04.
I'm not going to pretend to know.
I've got it here to like know when... This where it's at right now.
The chat will help us out there as well. But either way, we're not that many years away, mm-hmm. regardless. So,
yeah, they're in 03 because Darkness Falls.
Wait, I think it was 2000. Mm. Was it 2008?
That sounds more right.
Yeah, I think it was 2008. Now that I think
the
about
chat
it.
Will help us.
So yeah. they're in about 2003, 2004 because Darkness Falls is on that rack.
Yeah, and 2008.
Okay. Here it says 2003 is when Darkness Falls was released. So that means if it went to video after like theatrical whatever, it's somewhere between 2003 and 2004.
This is 2003. Mm. Better Call Saul right now is in 2003.
Right.
Breaking Bad is just starts in 2008. So we are 5 years separated from Walter White.
All right, so we're actually
five
and
more
then,
seasons.
Well,
and a movie. No.
Well, and we're more like six because we don't see Saul Goodman, and we don't see Saul Goodman in the first season.
No.
So that we're more than.
But
six.
We know he's there. He's got. He's established by then. He's well established at that point.
So we're still a few. I mean, either way, we're still a few years off.
Yeah. Well, who knows how long he's been there? Like he could get there in 2004 and like have be
true.
4 years into that business. Like his ads aren't like a new thing. He's like
he is an established pillar of that community by the time Walter White meets him.
Yeah, so I'd say like he's at least it's got to be at least like 2 years before. So like 2006, I think is like the latest he could possibly start his Saul Goodman career.
Yeah, because we have to give him like the year of like they've started his year of
Yeah, he won't be back to practicing law till 2004. Oh, so yeah, he has 2005, 2006, 2007 to get started in somewhere in there, and then
by 2008, 2009 he meets. Okay. That timeline checks out.
Well, oh, wait, because, like, Breaking Bad happens very quickly.
Oh, you're right, because 08 happened, like,
Breaking Bad is not covering a huge amount of time.
Yes.
So, I mean, let's...
Covering a huge amount of our lives.
So, let's, so let's move into predictions, then.
I mean... Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Because we definitely haven't been predicting. just try and stop me.
I'll jump in. I think... The official turn of Jimmy to Saul will be when he loses Kim. Either she hightails it out of town, or just realizes that he's too bad for her to deal with, and is, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this, I can't deal with you, it's you, it's to your core. I'm leaving you. And that's what's going to make him turn to be Saul. True Saul Goodman of, like, well, she was the only one that was keeping me caring about anyone ever. I'm going to stop. I'm in it for the money. I'm in it to just be a lawyer for myself.
Yeah, it's like
back to Slim to Jimmy. I think that's my ultimate. Also, I think Chuck officially wrote him out of the will. Cuz all of these hurdles we're talking about would be a lot easier if Jimmy had $9 million.
It's like the flip side of Chuck, where we were just talking about how Chuck had nothing to live for. Mm-hmm. So for Jimmy, the full turn is he loses everybody in his life that he cares about, and so he's like, I might as well just embrace the bad guy. Essentially, is what you're saying.
The other thing is, I don't think it's $9 million. That was, like, coming out of Hamlin's, like, pocket. Like, Jimmy could technically, like, sue for it.
Yeah.
But I don't buy that he would do the same thing that Chuck would. Like, sue a company into the ground that way. Yeah.
Well, and he would have to hire a lawyer.
Yeah.
he's gonna hire Kim.
And they know that, like, and Jimmy can't afford to hire a lawyer to sue HHM. Like, you just can't until the Sandpiper Crossing comes in. The question is, how does he get to a point where he gets $1.2 million,
I think,
and has to go back to, like, working for very little money per client off the street? Does he somehow, like, I think we're going to see him somehow lose all of his Sandpiper money. The question is just how. Does he get ripped off by drug dealers? Does he get sued by somebody? Does it somehow wind up in Kim's hands? I don't know.
No, I mean,
but,
maybe,
like,
maybe
there's no way that he keeps that money.
Maybe there's a delay because maybe Irene dies, and so therefore they maybe have to, like, refile or sit there and say, because that Irene's the one that, like, I want to say when you do, like, a class action, she's the one that brought it forth, so she's the one that brings it forth, and she dies. Maybe it just gets getting pushed back. So no, he's like, I've got to revert to
She's just the class representative. If she passed away, they would just appoint a new.
No, and so, like, but I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. It's like to the next person, it just keeps getting delayed.
That delay wouldn't be years. That would be weeks.
The delay's already years. They've said, like, the settlement is years away.
So maybe that's why he gets the high. He gets the high, the thrill of being Saul Goodman, because he's like, this is what I'm good at, this is what I do. So it's like that thrill of, you know what, I'm going to be the bad guy. You know, and I enjoy being the bad guy, and so that's the only thing that he's good at.
Like, maybe he has that, maybe he uses that settlement to start the practice.
He had some money in the show when he was...
Chuck or Jimmy?
Jimmy.
He had some, but, like, he was still, like, working, right? Like, doing, like, crap work with, like, a bad crowd.
Right.
Not the way you behave if you have $1.5 million in the, like, $1.5 million in the bank.
Yeah, he's making, like, public defender money, which is not a lot.
Like, he's making, but he's, he was private, making, public.
But
he's,
I mean, he was private, making public defender money, like, 20 also, times a day.
Yeah, but it's also, like, We're talking about Saul. I'm talking about Breaking Bad Saul Goodman.
Yeah,
he's doing, you know, his bail whatever stuff he was doing, but he's also doing that to funnel his money so that all of this illegal money that he's getting, he can have something to show for.
Essentially,
right?
Like the car because wash if he had or
exactly
because like
if he had
company,
a bunch
okay.
of money from whatever he got it from, he's got to have some way to launder. He can't just not work because he's got a bunch of money, right?
Well, if he had it legally.
Possibly.
He would have to have a legal
money. That's a good, I like that.
Yeah, I think
that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I interpreted it, because it seemed like he's doing, by the time we get to Breaking Bad, no, he's not, like, rolling in it, but he seemed pretty comfortable.
He seemed comfortable, I think, because he had a fairly successful law practice going on, but my prediction, I'm going to say he's going to get sued by someone and lose all that sandpiper money.
I'm going to say he somehow doesn't get it.
I think there's definitely going to be, there has to be some issue with Kim, because the show just can't continue if they're, like, happy. And I think the money is going to have something to do with that.
Maybe.
I think she just decides to be somebody else. And this is the turn that we're seeing from her is, you know, I thought that I wanted to be this aggressive, on-the-ball attorney. And now she's like, because she's faced death, she's like, maybe I want to do something else. And maybe that's the friction, is that I don't want to be associated. You know, like, I want something different with my life. And it's not just...
that.
And, like, you know, she enjoyed, because for a while she enjoyed the doing the scams with Jimmy for a little bit. But now that she has, like, this, like, life-altering moment, maybe that's where it turns things just, like, I don't want
to
live my life that type of way.
She wants to be
and
more
so
Atticus
that could
Finch.
Be the wedge between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And that's why we don't see, possibly not see Kim in Breaking Bad.
Oh, you know what I could see Better Call Saul totally doing is Jimmy sees that. Like, he is rubbing off too much on
Ooh.
Kim
and
pushing her to, like, not
be
who she is. And, yeah, sabotages the relationship, pushes her away so that she can get back to being Kim Wexler. And he leaves a broken man, like, off to be Saul while ultimately being the good guy to that relationship. It'll break our hearts.
Oh, man.
And then he's going to try to find her in Nebraska.
All right. Here's my really stretch prediction. I think that there's going to be something with the fire that implicates Jimmy, because he was the last one there. Either, like, he left something, like a battery or something, like hid something when he left that was, like, buzzing, and that's what drove him crazy, or something along those lines. But I think that he is going to be implicated in some ways. Again, it's kind of a pretty far offshoot, but I think just to have the fire and just have it, like, go away is, like, a waste of a plot device, especially with the fact that Jimmy was the last one there and he kind of set it off, not literally, but actually kind of literally.
I'm worried that might happen.
I think especially with the way that he left last, and the whole thing of, like, something being on in the house and, like, he can't find it, just seemed kind of fishy to me.
I could see them moving forward. I could see this starting. I could see the next season starting, like, at the funeral and then, like, blowing past all this, but that's also...
I really want to see more Howard, too, because he was great in this episode, and so I'm hoping that with... that kind of, it's almost like the end of, like, the HHM plotline,
yeah.
For more or less. Like, there's really not too much else reason.
We'll probably see a little bit of the fallout from the will, and I'm assuming Jimmy receiving nothing.
Or they'll see each other at the funeral or something, who knows.
And it'll, like, that's the only way I can see Howard being any part of the story.
I enjoyed him
a lot.
As
great as Patrick Fabian is.
Yeah, I enjoyed him a lot this season. Every episode I was like, man, this guy's great. So I'm hoping that, I'm sure we'll get at least a couple guests. But I'm hoping we'll get a little bit more.
All right.
Lots to look forward to. AMC renewed this show. I don't know what you're waiting for. You know you're going to do it, because you know if you don't, Netflix is just going to be like, we'll take it. Like,
that's true.
Okay.
That is true.
Okay.
I could see Netflix on the phone with them tomorrow and be like, you're not going to renew this?
Uncut Better Call Saul. I could do that.
I don't think, you know what, I don't think that Amazon could do that. I don't know if they have enough money now that they bought Whole Foods, so.
Honestly, like, I don't even know that moving it to Netflix would change the show in any way.
No.
AMC is so hands-off with the show.
I think we would get, I honestly think that we would get a little bit more in terms of, like, language and violence.
I think it's the same. I think ultimately the only difference would be that we would get a little more, we probably get a little longer episodes because Netflix is more fluid length. So I think you would see longer episodes. I think ultimately that's it. But I don't think AMC is going to.
No, but you'd also see is that,
no,
boom, they would drop all 10 episodes at once. So you could binge the, you know, hell out of it.
Yeah.
There's also definitely, you know, never mind. We don't need to get into that. If anybody picks up the show,
yeah.
All right. So, like,
this would be an unacceptable last episode.
Yeah, and no one, I don't think anyone's going to say, but this show, like, my last thoughts on it, like, this show is such high quality programming. It goes beyond that. Like, the universe that we're living in is obviously one of the best universe, like the biggest universes that we've seen on television because of Breaking Bad. They expand it with like the online content. Like, you guys, I think you guys talked about the Kettleman thing last week. Just like a little 3-minute short film, and it's like it's not just tugging your arms, it's just like slamming, pulling out your heartstrings. Go check it out on BCS Bingo,
yep,
or whatever it is. But it's a really cool little piece. There's so much that this show has to offer. I can't wait to see season 4 because I don't have any doubt that we'll get it.
We're all gonna enjoy it too. All right, so Steve, where can people find you besides here, man? Besides here, where can they find you? Like, what shows are you doing?
They can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KaufMann. When Suits comes back in July, that'll be my next show up. But otherwise, I do wrestling pay-per-views here. I'm also on week 2 of what I'm calling the sober year, which is from birthday to birthday, I will not be drinking. And I'm doing a vlog about it, so if you go to thesoberyear.com, it'll take you straight to that YouTube playlist.
Nice. Nate?
Hey, you can find me on social media at DogLikeNate. And I'm around. I do a bunch of shows here and there and everywhere. Next week I'll be doing the season finale of Silicon Valley, so check that out.
Nice. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Always, man.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. Finishing up the Doctor Who After Show right now on Sunday nights, and Killjoys on Sci-Fi comes back in a few weeks for the summer, and that's such a ridiculous show, like the total opposite of this one. But check it out.
And guys, I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And Sunday, I'll be reviewing Glow, which has been getting great reviews on Netflix. So thanks for joining us all season long. And until next season, adieu.
Better call Saul.
That's right.
Call him.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Better call you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.